So we go to May 1st, 1933. Special resolution of the retreat. How many? Wow. Love of labor. First, helpfulness towards the sisters. Second, do not speak about those who are absent and defend the good name of my labor. Third, rejoice in the success of others. O God, how much I desire to be a small child. You are my father, and you know how little and weak I am. So I beg you, keep me close by your side all my life, and especially at the hour of my death. Jesus, I know that your goodness surpasses the goodness of a most tender mother. I will thank the Lord Jesus for every humiliation and will pray especially for the person who has given me the chance to be humiliated. So not only not to hate, but to pray for. Positive approach. I will immolate myself for the benefit of souls. I will not count the cost of any sacrifice. I will cast myself beneath the feet of the sisters like a carpet on which they can not only tread but also wipe their feet. My place is under the feet of the sisters. I will make every effort to obtain that place unnoticed by others. It is enough that God sees this. Now a great ordinary day has begun. The solemn hours of the perpetual vows has passed, but God's great grace has remained in my soul. I feel I'm all God's. I feel I am His child. I feel I am wholly God's property. I experience this in a way that can be physically sensed. I'm completely at peace about everything because I know it is the spouse's business to look after me. So this is trust. Jesus is looking after you. But we are worried so much what will happen tomorrow, what happened. We are disturbed. For many things, we thought Jesus away from us, but Jesus stayed first. No? I have forgotten about myself completely. My trust placed in His most merciful heart has no limit. I'm continuously united with Him. It seems to me as though Jesus could not be happy without me, nor could I without Him. Although I understand that being God, He is happy in Himself and has absolutely no need of any creature, still His goodness compels Him to give Himself to the creature and with a generosity which is beyond understanding. So we thought God is far away, you know, but God is really something. We can't imagine how God is close to us. More than yourself. My Jesus, I will strive to give honor and glory to your name. Turn battle to the day on which you yourself will say, enough. Every soul you have entrusted to me, Jesus, I will try to aid with prayer and sacrifice so that your grace can work in them. O great lover of souls, my Jesus, I thank you for this immense confidence with which you have died to place souls in our care. O you days of work and of monotony, you are not monotonous to me at all, for each moment brings me new graces and opportunity to do good. 25th April 1933, a kind of monthly permissions. Maybe he asked permission from the superior that month to enter the chapel when I pass near it, to pray in my moments of leisure, to accept, give, or lend small things, to have a mid-morning and an afternoon snack. Sometimes I will not be able to take part in recreation. Sometimes I will not be able to take part in community exercises. So ask excuse not to do so from the superior. Sometimes I will not be able to take part in evening and morning prayers. Sometimes to remain at work a little longer after 9 or make my spiritual exercises after 9 p.m. To write down something or take notes when I have a free moment, with permission. To telephone, with permission. To go out the house. To visit the church when I'm in town, still we have asked permission. To enter our other sister's cell in case of need, even in case of need. To take a drink of water occasionally outside the prescribed times. Usually, the rules is that you eat and drink in the time of eating, no? In the refectory. So another time, other place, you are not supposed to drink or eat anything. And you ask permission. Thirsty, sister. She asked permission, sister. Could you teach me to drink water? Very simple, huh? To recite the chapter of the Divine Mercy with outstretched arms. We say, you know, naturally, we say outstretched arms. Can you do that? Some people say the rosary with outstretched arms. Why don't you do it next time? Very difficult. On Saturday, to save 5 tickets of rosary with outstretched arms. 5 tickets of rosary, outstretched arms. I tried once, but only 10 Hail Mary already I surrender. It's tiring. To sometimes recite a prayer lying prostrate on the floor. On Thursday, a holy hour. Morning, I think the holy hour is an hour, no? Just before the Blessed Sacrament. On Friday, some greater mortification for dying sinners. Jesus, friend of a lonely heart, you are my haven, you are my peace, you are my salvation, you are my serenity in moments of struggle and amidst an ocean of doubts. You are the bright ray that lights up the path of my life. You are everything to a lonely soul. You understand the soul even though it remains silent. Even we keep silent, Jesus knows us thoroughly well. Nothing can hide before Jesus. You know our weaknesses, and like a good physician, you comfort and heal, sparing us sufferings, expert that you are. The words of the Bishop Rosborn, spoken at the ceremony of the taking of perpetual vows. Accept this candle as a sign of heavenly light and burning love. While giving the ring, I betroth you to Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father Most High. May He keep you unblemished. Take this ring as a sign of the eternal covenant you are making with Christ, the spouse of virgins. May it be for you the ring of faith and the sign of the Holy Spirit, that you may be called the bride of Christ, and if you serve Him faithfully, be crowned for all eternity. Jesus, I trust in you. I trust in the ocean of your mercy. You are a mother to me. That's enough. This year, 1933, is for me an especially solemn year, because in this Jubilee year of the Lord's Passion, I have taken my perpetual vows. I have joined my sacrifice in a special way to the sacrifice of the crucified Jesus, in order to thus become more pleasing to God. I do all things with Jesus, through Jesus, even Jesus, do all things with Jesus, through Jesus, in Jesus, also for Jesus. After perpetual vows, I stayed in Krakow throughout the month of May, because it was the undecided whether I was to go to Rakka or to Vilnius. Once Mother General asked me, "Why are you sitting here so quietly and not getting ready to go somewhere, sister?" I answered, "I want to do God's pure will. Wherever you bid me to go, dear mother, I will know God's pure will for me will be there without any a mixture on my part." "Don't you want this and that? And you, mother, can I go there?" "No. Wherever you go, ask me to go, that's a grace there." But a general replied to me to this, "Very well." The next day, she summoned me and said, "You wanted to have God's pure will, sister? Very well, then. You are going to Vilnius." I thanked her, and I waited the day when I would be told to go. However, my soul was filled with a certain joy and fear at one at the same time. I felt that God was preparing great graces for me there, but also great suffering. Yet I stayed on in Krakow until 27th of May. As I had no regular duties, I only went to help in the garden. And as it happened that I worked all alone for the whole month, I was able to make a Jesuit retreat. Although I went to community recreation, I still managed to make the Jesuit retreat. I received much light from God during this time. Do you know what Jesuit retreat? Meditate, silence, and thinking of the whole life, and reflect. That's how the Jesuits are doing for 30 days, every day doing the same thing. It was 4 days after my perpetual vows, I was trying to make a holy hour. It was first Thursday of the month. As soon as I entered the chapel, God's presence enveloped me. I was distinctly aware that the Lord was near me. After a moment, I saw the Lord all covered with wounds, and he said to me, "Look at whom you have espoused." I understood the meaning of these words and answered the Lord, "Jesus, I love you more when I see you wounded and crushed with suffering like this, then I saw you in majesty." Jesus asked, "Why?" I replied, "Great majesty terrifies me. Little nothing that I am, and you and your wounds draw me to your heart and tell me of your great love for me." So seeing the wound of Jesus, seeing his true love for us, majesty, you know, all the lights, and you don't feel much. But the pain of Jesus reminds us how much he loves us. After this conversation, it was silence. I fixed my gaze upon his secret wounds and felt happy to suffer with him. I suffered, and yet I did not suffer, because I felt happy to know the depth of his love. And the hour passed like a minute. So she felt the suffering of Jesus, but also the kind of joy. Because that's love there. When she sees herself, the wounds of Jesus, she's the love. It's completely in her heart. I must never judge anyone, but look at others with leniency and at myself with severity. I must refer everything to God in my own eyes, recognize myself for what I am, utter misery and nothingness. In suffering, I must be patient and quiet, knowing that everything passes in time, so everything will pass. We suffer as if in eternity. No. The moments I lived through when I was taking my perpetual vows are better left unsaid. I am in him and he in me. As a bishop was putting the ring on my finger, God pervaded my whole being. And since I cannot express that moment, I will be silent about it. My relationship with God since perpetual vows has been more intimate than it had ever been before. I sense that I love God and that he loves me. Having once last tasted God, my soul could not live without him. 1 hour at the foot of the altar in the greatest dryness of spirit is nearer to me than 100 years of worldly pleasure. I prefer to be a lowly draught in the common than a queen in the world. I will hide from people's eyes whatever good I am able to do so, that God himself may be my reward. I will be like a tiny violet hidden in the grass, which does not hurt the foot that treads on it, but diffuses its fragrance and, forgetting itself completely, tries to please the person who has crushed it underfoot. Even you are crushed, you give the scent. It's beautiful, huh? This is very difficult for human nature, but God's grace comes to 1:8. The little flower being crushed at the smell, perfume. Even people crush you, you give the scent. So beautiful, huh? This is very difficult for human nature, but God's grace comes to 1:8. Thank you, Jesus, for the great favor of making known to me the whole abyss of my mystery. I know that I am an abyss of nothingness, and that if your holy grace did not hold me up, I will return to the nothingness in a moment. So yeah, we can stand. God is holding us. Believe that, eh? You can see in this way, God is holding you. Otherwise, you fret down. God is his love for us. And so with every beat of my heart, I thank you, my God, for your great mercy towards me. Tomorrow I'm to live for Venus. Today I went to confession to Father Andres, this priest who is so filled with the Spirit of God, who untied my wings so that I could soar to the highest summit. He reassured me in everything and told me to believe in divine providence, have confidence, and walk ahead with courage. An extraordinary divine power came over me after that confession. Father stressed that I must be faithful to God's grace and said, no harm will come to you if, in the future, you continue to keep this same simplicity and obedience. Have confidence in God. You are on the right path and in good hands, in God's hands. The evening, I remained at chapel a little longer. I talked to the Lord about a certain soul. Encouraged by his goodness, I said, Jesus, you gave me this Father so-and-so, who understands my inspirations, and now you are taking him away from me again. What am I going to do in this Venus? I don't know anyone there, and even the dialect of the people there is foreign to me. And the Lord said to me, do not fear. I will not leave you to yourself. My soul drowned itself in a prayer of thanksgiving for all the graces that the Lord has granted me through the mediation of Father Andres. Suddenly, I remember the vision in which I have seen that priest between the confessional and the altar, trusting that I would meet him someday. And the words I had heard came back vividly. He will help you to fulfill my will here on earth. Father Andres. Today, May 27, 1933, I'm meeting for Vilnius. When I came out of the house, I looked at the garden and the house, and when I cast a glance at the novitiate, tears suddenly ran down to my cheeks. I remember all the blessings and graces bestowed on me by the Lord. Then suddenly, unexpectedly, I saw the Lord by the flower bed, and he said to me, "Do not weep, I am with you always." So by the time you leave the Philippines from the airport, you say goodbye to your parents or to your friends or brothers and sisters. And Jesus is telling you, you go to a foreign land. But the same word going said to you, "Do not weep, I am with you always." Even you are far from your family, you are with, you are close to your family because Jesus is close to you. And with Jesus, only in Jesus, that we are close to our parents, our family members. So, don't be afraid. Courage. If Jesus is telling Faustina this word, "Do not weep, I am with you always," the same to you. I don't think Jesus loved Faustina more than loving you. The same to you, right? But you remember, Faustina loved Jesus so much. Do you do the same? It's a question. You can. The moment is that you want it a lot. Of course, it's a struggle to love Jesus or love your human beings. It's always, even for priests, for nuns, not all the time we can succeed to follow Jesus so closely. But we have to start again. That's a beautiful thing. St. Paul is teaching us, start again. Every day is a new day. Put off the old self and put on the new self. That's St. Paul's teaching. Don't worry about your past life, how many years in Hong Kong. As if the first day in Hong Kong, or not the last day, the first day in Hong Kong, but always trust. Don't be afraid. Do not weep. I am with you always. Remember this word.